It's time for What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
Oh, there's that music too. I forgot the Prime Ministerial music. Good morning, Prime Minister.
I'm not sure about the Prime Ministerial music.
Really?
It sounds very regal.
Well, I mean, you do represent our nation across the world, as you've so ably done recently.
That is true, but I'm not the Queen.
How are you this morning?
Good, thank you. I'm very good.
You had a full weekend. You didn't take any time off, did you? You went and did stuff all weekend.
Yes, no, there was stuff to be done. I had a great weekend, though. There was a lot going on.
We had a BFM listener before saying that he really enjoyed meeting you at the Greenland Festival. He said, you know, our Prime Minister looks you in the eye when she talks to you.
Yes, I do. Yeah. I find that's a great way to have conversations, to look at the person you're talking to.
But isn't that an interesting thing to say? I thought that was a really cool thing to say. Let's get straight on to all the different things we've got to talk about. I would like to talk to you about the 6,000 questions that our esteemed colleagues in the opposition have decided that are absolutely imperative that we need to know, and look like basically going to clog up Parliament all year long. What's the deal with that? Are they just being better opposition than you, or than you guys were, or is this just some rotten technique?
It depends what your measures are, I guess. So we have the system where you can ask any minister any question you like. They have an 8-working-day turnaround to respond to them, so pretty tight. And it's used often to get things like stats and numbers, to get a sense of certain briefings that they might be receiving, things like that. So, you know, it is a legitimate tool and it's a really important one, and obviously in opposition I used it a lot. I just didn't use it quite to that scale. So in a month, 6,000 questions is a large number, and if you look at the content of them, some of them are things like, what did you do today, basically? Not exactly that, but just to give you a sense. And so, look, it's their prerogative to do opposition how they want to do it. My only concern is there are legitimate questions to ask. We want to make sure we're being transparent, but if you do get a bit bogged down, that makes that job a bit harder. So there's a balance to strike, I guess.
When they do ask these questions, where does it go to? Does it go to the minister, the person in charge of the portfolio, or
a clearinghouse for them? They get checked and then they get sent off to the relevant minister's office. But ministers have oversight of answers before they go out, of course. But
I'm just interested as an opposition technique. This is kind of unprecedented the way that the National Party are behaving. And have been behaving in the last month, I think, with the whole, with these questions, with the whole still barracking on about winning the election and all this carry on and how they got robbed and the whole thing's a scam. But it's pretty. Is it dirty pool or is it just bizarre?
Well, desperate? Look, I guess I've had some experience in the opposition chairs, and so my view is it's an incredibly important role. I would never diminish the role that they need to play. I've been there. You know, their job is to hold us to account, make sure that we are being transparent, and to offer an alternative.
Like all politicians, their job is to represent the community. It's not to pat each other on the back,
There is a line where you say, well, actually, in doing that, to what extent do we actually try and stop the ability of Parliament to run?
That's what I mean, yeah.
And that is, that, for my view is, that is a question for them. I think over time, though, they're as answerable to the public as we are.
There has been there was another strange turn of events with the article that came out in Forbes magazine. That was just a great, but it seemed an incredibly poorly informed and rash article, basically saying that the new Labour government or the coalition government would
commit
pointless economic suicide.
Yes.
You would be the architect of that suicide, I imagine, Prime Minister.
Yes, I did read that because it came up as breaking news, and I thought, this is intriguing. Where has this information come from? And it turns out it was an article written in Forbes, but by essentially, as far as I can tell, a columnist who is a money trader who describes himself as a contrarian money trader. He obviously had not written any read any of the projections or assessments of our financial position, or indeed New Zealand's forward look for our economic position. So, and I'm happy to share what those say. The projections at the moment say that we're going to have potentially a small dip in growth in 2018 before a predicted increase in growth in 2019. No one is predicting that we're going to cause a recession. No one, which is why it was completely dismissed by economists when it was written. But to put it up as breaking news, I thought was a bit of a stretch.
And once again, salivated over by the National Party made them, once again, just look a little bit desperate, I thought.
Well, they did back off a little bit, I noticed. Many of them retweeted it and put emphasis on it. But I did see, I think, probably when the credibility of it really was questioned, there was a bit of a back off. But, yeah. Yeah. Again, so, they're prerogative.
So over the last week, we've you've announced the finer details of what's happening in regards to the going back into the Pike River mine?
Yes. Yeah.
How are you feeling about all that at the moment?
Yeah, obviously there's a bit of work to do, and that was something we always knew was going to take a bit of time because you've got to do it properly. You know, I have been asked the question, what if during that process there is, you know, clear evidence that there will be absolute, you know, risk of life and unacceptable risk. And I've given the only answer you could give. The families have been really clear. They lost loved ones in that mine. They don't want anyone else to have to experience a loss of life in the recovery. But our commitment is a manned re-entry. That's what we're focused on. If that kind of information is thrown up at us as we work through that process, then that's something we'll work through with the families. But right now, there's certainly enough independent advice that it can be done that makes it worth pursuing.
There seems to be a bit of criticism about how much time and money is the government's prepared to spend on it and where that money's coming from. Any response to that?
No more than a flag referendum. Exactly. And you know, I
that was so cool, that flag referendum, wasn't it? What a good call.
Certainly our hope is that it won't actually cost as much as the projections that we've had, which is just over $7.5 million per annum over 3 years. So we are hoping it will come in at less than that.
Is it going to stretch over 3 years? Is that just a safety sort of?
Yeah, I'd certainly buffer. Hope not. We've said that we've put it out to March 2019. We hope that we've achieved it by, but you know, I guess you don't always know. But that's our current prediction. You know, in all of this, I just think, you know, just thinking about what if it was my loved one? What if it was, you know, someone that I care deeply about who was in there. Just looking at it from that perspective, I think, changes the way that you look at how far we go and what we do to try and recover.
All right. Other things we've announced this week, the working tax group's got a head, and it's good old reliable. Yes, I wouldn't mind giving you the keys to my car to look after for a while, Dr. Cullen.
Wouldn't you, though? And so much so that he's been used frequently by the national government as well for that reason. He is the best person I can imagine to lead that piece of work, ex-finance minister.
Runs good books.
Incredibly sound, thoughtful person, and I think well-respected. So we've got other appointments to make. We've put out the terms of reference, the chair. We'll make the other appointments, and then we're underway.
How much is that going to cost us?
I have had that figure. Off the top of my head, I'm going to be challenged to try and remember it. It's not, you know, I think people will see it's not a cheap exercise, but that's because it runs for a while. It's a very public process that we're going through to this one. We wanted people to have their say. So
and of course the tax laws do need a good hard zhushing, don't they?
Yeah. And so we've been really, you know, we've been given a really clear steer of what we want looked at and what we want to resolve. And so I think we want to do it properly.
What about the TPP? Where are we at with the TPP?
So at the moment, status quo from when we came back from Vietnam, there are some four elements that need to still be worked on, and we don't have a clear sense of when ministers will be able to reconvene for that. Again, none of those elements really affect New Zealand, so it's a bit of a wait and see while those countries work through those little remaining bits and pieces.
All right, and then the last thing I wanted to speak to you about was this the secret document. What is the secret document that has been talked about? The existence of a 38-page document first revealed by Winston Peters, your friend and ours, Winston Peters, the day after you guys signed the coalition agreement.
We, of course, put out the coalition agreement. That's the public document. Those are the things that we settled on. There are records of our other conversations. That's how I would loosely describe what's been talked about there. It's not an official document. Neither of us sat down, signed our name, to it, and so if that was the nature of it, if it was something that was signed up to an official and a formal declaration, it would be in the same, treated in the same vein as our coalition agreement. It's not, and so we're not treating it in the same way. And so, look, the public document, the agreement between us, it's all out there.
Now I know that you need to go, Jacinda, but I just wanted to say congratulations on. I didn't speak to you last week. I'll say congratulations on your standing ovation at the Music Awards. I thought that was pretty cool.
Oh, that was nice, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was nice. And your big shout out to Save Mart Hastings.
Although I do feel compelled to mention that since that time, I bought it many years ago, there have been some issues with the way that the workers are being treated there. I encourage the use of recycled clothes, but it'd be good if they worked through some of those issues as an organisation. So I would encourage that.
Tell you what, you do a good throw shade, Prime Minister. You really do.
We're required.
Hey, thanks for talking to us. Have a great week. All the very best. Speak to you again this time next week, Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
That was What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.